Hello again, and welcome back to The Ostrich Technique, the only podcast where you can stick your head in the sand to try and avoid the world for a while, or in this case, stick your head in some molten planet. I'm one of your hosts, Anant.
And I'm your other host, Chris.
So Chris, three uploads in a month. That's pretty wild. But we're here again because this has been a big month for movies. You know, we'd had Superman, and now we're back again for another big one. Do you like how it lingered on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Yes, we are here for Fantastic Four, the next Marvel movie that has come out. You know, Marvel has been in a little bit of an ascendance back again after a little bit of a slump, I'd say. Right, Chris?
Yeah. I think back-to-back movies with First Steps and Thunderbolts, it's kind of heading in the right direction.
For sure. Yeah, I think so. I think they're definitely headed in the right direction. And, you know, I guess they're somewhat set up now for Doomsday. Because now the only things we have up till the next Marvel movies are Spider-Man Brand New Day next July, which is a year from now. And then the real, like, actual MCU having their own movie is Doomsday, which is in December, mm-hmm. which is very far away. I guess, do you feel like this movie sufficiently has a setup now for Doomsday, or
not really?
Yeah,
it seemed very self-contained, and with that, it didn't feel like it really set up Doomsday. So we'll see how much Brand New Day sets it up. But I feel like it's a lot of heavy lifting, and the sense I get is Brand New Day also will kind of be its own little separate thing. So
yeah. I think Marvel will, I think the Russo brothers have their work cut out for them. They are not coming into an MCU, which is, you know, the most dominant thing in the world right now. I would say, honestly, DC is sort of taking that crown with, like, all of the sort of cultural consciousness. I think it's more around Superman than it is around Fantastic Four, even though for some reason Fantastic Four, well, not for some reason, but they're doing much better at the box office this weekend. So very interesting to see that. But, you know, enough of our conversation on that sort of stuff. We're here because I'm sure you guys want to hear what we thought about this movie. And I'm sure you've gotten a sense that we both kind of like it. Chris, I guess non-spoiler thoughts. What did you overall think about Fantastic Four?
I thought it was a good film. I think they finally have done Fantastic Four correctly in a film.
Mm-hmm.
I think they really played into the family aspect of the Fantastic Four. It was a fun movie, just like how the Fantastic Four should be, you know, compared to this, you know, 2015 Josh Trank version, which was very, very different, a little bit darker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think action was good. I think CGI overall surprised me, was overall pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think we really get to see another strong female character in Sue Storm.
Yeah, Sue Storm was really the sort of emotional core of this movie, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, I mean, they've not been hiding this necessarily in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler that the whole thing is, like, Sue Storm is pregnant, and she has, you know, it has something to do with her, I guess, their child, hers and Reed's child. So it is interesting to see how she gets to take center stage because of that. And Vanessa Kirby, I thought, was really good in this. You know, I'm a huge fan of her work in Mission Impossible. I've honestly not seen her in much else. I know she's supposedly very good in The Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Hobbs and Shaw, Chris?
I actually have, yeah.
Was she good in Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah, I thought she was good.
Okay. Well, you know, Vanessa Kirby, she's a trained theater actress. She knows what she's doing. She does a really good job here. But I would say I agree with you, Chris. I think this was a really solid movie. I really liked this. I mean, it was really nice to see a Fantastic Four movie actually work. I do have a special place for the original two Fantastic Four movies, the Tim Story ones. They're not great, mm-hmm. but they're entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we grew up with them. So yeah. Like, I think there's a bit of nostalgia playing there. They're not good movies by any stretch, but they're good. Like, you know, if it's showing up on FX or one of those like cable channels, you'll just sort of like watch it for a little bit because it's entertaining in that sense. But this one is an actual good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you said, it focuses on the family aspect of it more than any other film, which I really appreciate. I really like that. You really feel that they are a great team, and they're not, I mean, even like the Johnny and Ben stuff, it's like, I think in the other movies, they really play up like there's an almost like an adversarial relationship to them. Yeah. In this one, they like tease each other, but they really do feel like they're almost brothers in a way, which yes. I really like that.
Yeah.
I will say, I think if there's any one of the characters that got a bit short shrifted, it was probably Ben, honestly. Ben got probably the least to do of all of the characters in the film. Surprisingly, Johnny was good in this one. Like he's not like just, I mean, he is, you know, kind of a womanizer. We don't see too much of it, but one thing that I really liked about him is that they actually showed he's intelligent in this one, which I don't think any of the other Fantastic Four movies have really done. I haven't seen the Josh Trank one. Would you say that he's smart in the Josh Trank one,
Michael
B. Jordan version?
I don't remember, but I think that's probably indicative that nothing groundbreaking stood out to me from that character.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, that they were biracial siblings. That was something that stood out. But I think in general, this one, they I feel like they got Johnny. I feel like otherwise, even though Ben was shown little, they got all of the characterizations right. And I think Reed especially, like there is almost like a neurotic, self-destructive quality to his intelligence because he is so smart. And you see that pop up a couple of times, and like Sue gets really upset with him about it. Like the other guy, and like Ben and Johnny also get upset by it. Like there's a moment in this movie where they both are like, "Are you actually suggesting what we think you're suggesting?" And it's Reed's mind, just like, you know, he talks about it in the film, but he catastrophizes a lot of things because he's so intelligent, which is really interesting to see. That side of him, which they haven't really captured in like the Fantastic Four films before. But enough from me, Chris. What are some other things you liked about this film?
Like I said, I think a lot of the visuals, action sequences, specifically with the Silver Surfer, I think were excellent. I think were probably the most fun part and engaging parts of the movie.
Yeah.
I think Julia Garner did a very great job portraying Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
I know we've gotten Silver Surfer in Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
Very, obviously, different version of the Silver Surfer. Like, but I enjoyed this one a lot.
Yeah.
I think Galactus as well. Again,
yes.
Very different from Rise of the Silver Surfer.
You're saying you didn't like him as a cloud, Chris?
No, I like this more comic accurate. But at the same time, I didn't feel out of place for me.
Mm.
Even though, you know, the character design is very comic booky, very campy, it didn't feel really out of place for some reason. I can't really put my finger on it, but
yeah.
It felt like I could see it. I could see it.
It feels really interesting because I think the cloud aspect of it was meant to speak to the fact that he's more of like a force of nature, which they do hint at here as well. Like there's a line in the movie, which I'm going to say it's not. It, out of context, I would assume it doesn't spoil, but there's this whole thing about he doesn't choose, he feeds. There's like a line where they're like talking about, why did you choose our planet? And the line responded back is, he doesn't choose, he feeds. Which is like, I think a really, I think reflective of his role being basically a force of nature and just consuming planets and stuff. So it's interesting to see, you know, man fighting nature. I mean, that's, you know, a basic storytelling trope of man just trying to fight nature, trying to fight the will of nature.
Yep.
I thought he was also really well done. I mean, Ralph Ineson, he has like that really sort of booming voice, deep, you know, baritone voice for Galactus, which I really like. But I think also the way that they shot Galactus was really interesting. Like where one, Chris and I saw it, we saw it in IMAX. We saw it in 1/4:3 IMAX, which is like, we get the full towering effect of Galactus for one, which I really like. But the way that they shot him, it felt like very like an actual cameraman would shoot him, not necessarily like they're putting the camera in places that doesn't make sense. So they had it on the ground. They shot it with miniatures, which I really like that, where like Ralph Ineson in the suit is walking around like a miniature New York City. And as he walks, like the cars sort of rumble and move and stuff. So I really, really like that. Really great depiction of Galactus. And like you said, doesn't feel out of place, which is a really tough, I guess, tightrope act. And I don't know how they did it, but it felt believable within this world of the Fantastic Four. And speaking to that end, I love the world that they set up, this retro futuristic world that felt like the 50s kind of idea of what the future was going to be. But obviously this seems to have taken place in their version of like 2025 or whatever. It doesn't feel like this was like in the past.
I would disagree. I think it felt like it was meant to be in the 60s.
Really?
Even in the teaser, the initial like art that we got of them.
Yeah.
Where it has like the Time magazine
cover
of when it was 1960, 1963, whatever it was.
Okay, so you think it is actually just, it's just more advanced because, like, I guess, I don't know.
Because of the Fantastic Four.
Okay, yes. Gotcha. All right. Well, regardless, I love the aesthetic of the world that they've built, like that really sort of like old school vibe that they have. It felt all very tactile. It didn't feel like they were on green screen stages or like in the volume or something like that. Like it all felt like they were actually shooting things for real, which I know, you know, practically they probably didn't, that they were sets and stuff, but I really liked the way that they did it. And it didn't feel like I didn't feel like I was taken out of the movie like I have felt in some other Marvel movies in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What other things stuck out to you, Chris? Maybe things you didn't like, for example.
Well, I guess just first to close up my points about things that I did like, just to piggyback on what you were saying, how they really set up this world for you that you're kind of dropped into. It very felt reminiscent of Superman.
Yes.
Where, you know, we're not going through a whole origin story again. We're going to just drop you into this world where the heroes are now kind of been established.
Yes.
And you kind of just learn as you go, and you get a sense of, you know, what their origins was and, you know, what their role is in society. So I thought that was very similar. I think it was smart not to retread a Fantastic Four origin story that has been done a few times already in different films. So,
yeah.
But in terms of things that I didn't like or I wish could have been better, I think on top of Ben not getting as much screen time out of the four of them, I think Galactus didn't really do much. You know, he has an appearance here or so in one of the earlier acts, but it's really the third act where we really get to see the most of Galactus. I would have enjoyed seeing a little bit more of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to that end, I mean, I will also say that there's actually not a ton of action scenes in this movie either. Like, they show some action bits in, like, the beginning. There's, like, a montage. There's, like, an action scene in the second act. And then, obviously, the third act has a lot of action as well. But there isn't a ton of it. And I think I don't think that that's a bad thing. Like, I maybe would have liked to see more personally, because this is a very short film. It's under 2 hours, which is, it's been a while since there's been a Marvel movie sub 2 hours. But it feels like, it focuses on the family. And I think that that worked to that effect, because I was really invested in every single character within the Fantastic Four. But I would have liked to maybe see some more of their powers. And also to what you were saying, would have liked to see a little bit more Galactus. One thing that I do want to touch on, though, which you mentioned, was the parallels to Superman, which I actually find quite interesting, because this did feel like a Superman in a lot of ways, with this whole idea of, you know, starting off with hero that is beloved by the public. Like, everyone really likes him. There's almost a fall from grace that happens. And there is a redemption that happens by the end of it, you know, to different effects. You know, Superman is dealing with Lex sort of troll farming things. And then at the same time, the Fantastic Four, it's something else that happens within the context of the film. But I think to that end, like you said, it drops you in the world, and I think it works.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Marvel has really been about like this whole interconnected universe. One thing affects another thing. All of it really ties together. And this is completely standalone. Chris, what were your thoughts on that? Like, do you feel like this worked? Do you think you want to see more of like these standalone stories? Because I know I do.
Yeah, I really enjoy. I mean, even Thunderbolts was relatively standalone. Like, yes, I think it took characters from different, you know, parts of the MCU, but they were also from either smaller projects or they were lesser known or B-list characters in the MCU. So I do enjoy that this was a very standalone movie.
Yeah.
Because it felt like you didn't have to do the homework going into it. So it felt a little bit refreshing.
Yeah.
And would I like to see more of them moving forward? I think yes, if it makes sense. Like, I don't want to see, I don't know, just for an example, if there is, I don't know, another Captain America movie that comes out, I don't want to see one that's very just self-contained when a lot of the characters have a lot of ties to the broader MCU and then they're just not referenced. So I think I want to see it if it makes sense. And I think putting the Fantastic Four in a separate universe allowed them to do this and have that flexibility of really fleshing out the characters and not being dependent on, you know, everything else going on in the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, I know Kevin Feige said specifically, like, they did this because they didn't want people asking, like, oh, Fantastic Four were here, where were they during, you know, fighting Thanos? Like, why weren't they there? Why weren't they at the Battle of New York or stuff like that? So I think that it makes sense, like, that they didn't have them in there. And I think I would agree with you that, like, it should make sense. But I think at the same time, I would like to see, you know, Marvel talked about this sort of multiverse and all of this stuff, which, you know, I think we'd agree has not panned out the way that we were hoping. And I think what we were hoping was that they would take the opportunity with Elseworlds to tell, or with the multiverse, to tell Elseworlds or different styles of stories. And I think that would have been really interesting if they told Captain America, maybe not tied to the MCU, but a different kind of Captain America having like a different story. Like, I don't know. I think that would have been a really interesting thing that they could have done and that they did not capitalize on. Obviously, you know, the pandemic notwithstanding, Disney Plus, like the whole mandate from Disney notwithstanding. But I do like that they have this, and I do hope that they do other ones where it makes sense. I think I would agree with that. But yeah, I think that, I mean, overall, I really like this film. I think you really like this film.
Mm-hmm.
I guess between this and Thunderbolts now, again, we're sort of in an ascendant trend. How do you think the two of them stack up? Would you say you like this one more than Thunderbolts, less than Thunderbolts?
I think maybe I like Thunderbolts a little bit more. I think Thunderbolts definitely is a darker film. It touches on more mature topics. And I think emotionally it does hit deeper than Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So I think for those reasons, I like Thunderbolts a little bit more than Fantastic Four. But at the same time, right, Thunderbolts is telling more of like an underdog story or a outcast group together and prevail sort of story, where Fantastic Four is obviously not that. It is very much this is a beloved group sort of story. But I do like both. I just think I like Thunderbolts a little bit more just because it touches on deeper themes.
Yeah. I also think, I mean, I would agree with that. I think Thunderbolts was maybe a better film, a little bit more than Fantastic Four. But I think part of it might have also been expectations. Like, I think I maybe had a bit more of an expectation that Fantastic Four was going to be better. Mm-hmm. Just because of the trailers, the fact that it felt very unique and like a singular vision from Matt Shakman versus Thunderbolts, which was, I mean, quite frankly, a lot of characters coming from a lot of like less than stellar projects. So I didn't have a lot of high hopes for maybe that film, even though the trailers for Thunderbolts were actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked about it when like the first trailer started coming out, that I was actually pretty interested in Thunderbolts. So it was maybe more of like, you know, lower expectations. So it like really over delivered and was more of a pleasant surprise than I sort of expected it to be. But Fantastic Four is a great film by all regards, and we definitely think you should see it if you haven't already. But are there any final thoughts, non-spoilers, Chris, before we jump into the spoiler stuff?
Nope.
All right. Then you guys have been warned. We're going to jump into the spoiler section now. We're going to talk full spoiler thoughts on here, and we'll give you the countdown. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Dr. Doom in the first cameo, or in the first post-credit scene. Chris. Spoiler thoughts. What are some, I guess, things that you maybe want to elaborate more on within the spoilery section or from the non-spoiler section?
That's a good question. I think, well, let's start with the Dr. Doom cameo in the post-credit. I thought it was very interesting, given that Matt Shakman, the director, had mentioned, you know, Doom is not showing up in this movie. Clearly, he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously there were teases in the film of, you know, the Latverian seat at where whatever it was.
Oh, I didn't notice that, actually.
They showed it twice.
Oh, really?
The Latverian seat, like, it just said Latveria, and then there was nobody sitting in the seat. There was no Latverian representative.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Wow.
Sue Storm was talking at.
Okay.
So, like, there were teases to Doom, but him showing up in the post credit, obviously not even showing the face, but I feel like they're teasing Doom. Like we said earlier, there's one movie left until Doomsday. I just feel like there is really not a lot of runway left for them to really set up Doomsday. And I feel like at least this post credit could have done that. And instead, they introduce the character with a non-facial cameo.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of that post credit because, you know, with Brand New Day being a Sony project, they don't necessarily need to set up Endgame.
Yeah.
Nor do I know if they have the rights to do so.
They probably, I'm sure Marvel, if they wanted to, you know, allow them, they could.
But yeah.
Also, if any of the rumors are to be believed, then this would be taking place like concurrently with Doomsday, right? So it wouldn't necessarily even have an effect on what's going on in the film. Especially because this is supposed to be also like a street level Spider-Man story and whatnot. So let's see. Let's see what happens with that. But I would agree with you. I think it's interesting that they're not setting up Doom. I don't think, honestly, Doom is the problem for me, quite frankly, because, you know, we've had movies like Ultron where Ultron was set up within the movie itself and it worked out fine. And I think he was a pretty good villain. I think it's more the broader MCU as a whole isn't really set up for fighting Dr. Doom. Like we know, I guess, some of the individual pieces. And as, you know, two individuals who've actually done the homework and watched, I think, almost every Marvel property, you know, maybe What If notwithstanding, I would say, like, I don't even necessarily see how the pieces are going to fit together for Doomsday. Like, who are the Avengers? Who is going to, like, what group is going to fight where? Like, we got a tease of the Fantastic Four coming in at the end of Thunderbolts, but, like, how does that fit in? Like, how do they get to Earth? You know, I think the Russo brothers have their work cut out for them. Like, I don't know how they're going to fit all of this information in and make this into, like, a coherent movie. Especially because they're apparently still writing the script for it.
Yeah.
Which is a choice. But, you know, enough more on this movie. Chris, any other, I guess, spoiler thoughts that are, you know, going around there?
Yeah, a few. I think one, you did talk about how Reed is, you know, so intelligent sometimes that it's a bit destructive.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is probably a very core Mr. Fantastic
quality
to him. But I think another very core Mr. Fantastic quality is that he is, because he is so intelligent and arguably the most intelligent being in the Marvel universe, he does tend to come off as very elitist or a bit cocky with his intelligence.
Yeah.
Which I really did not get the sense from Pedro Pascal's performance. I don't know if it was his performance or the writing, but I really felt more of, like you said, I am self-destructive because I always think about the consequences and what can go wrong. And that can be, you know, my downfall sometimes where I think part of it is a lot of these stories we have, you know, Reed and Doom together, both very, you know, intellectual geniuses, and they often battle each other intellectually. Or you have like a Tony Stark, for example, where you have a battle of the minds where Reed just did not have that in this movie. And so I did not get the sense of like, this guy can be very, very arrogant.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the movie doesn't necessarily give opportunities for him to show that, because for the most part, he's only really interacting with the rest of the four.
Yeah.
And the only time that he's interacting really with other people is through the press. And I think that at this point, like, they've been the Fantastic Four now for 4 years or whatever, or maybe a little bit longer, that there is some time. It's clearly like he's been put a little bit more in check. Like, I think Sue balances out like maybe some of his more self-destructive tendencies. So maybe that arrogant side of Reed would be something that we'd have seen when he was younger, or if he's with someone else that isn't necessarily the four and they're in a situation which like demands his intelligence. You know, I'd be curious to see that. I would agree that we didn't get that characterization. I don't know if it necessarily was something that I needed from him, but I could see that, you know, we didn't get that side of him. But I think Doomsday gives him that opportunity.
Yes, I would agree.
I think, you know, him with Banner, for example, I could see that being a fun dynamic, or I'm trying to think of other smart him and Shuri. Yeah. That would be interesting to see him.
I mean, yeah, Shuri gave off that arrogance towards Banner.
Yeah, for sure.
So
she definitely gave off, but that was like two smart people working together. Not that the four aren't smart. I will say again, I mean, I mentioned that Johnny wasn't like, he was actually smart in this movie. Him, I really like that.
Yeah, him on his little side quest to
decode.
Decode or translate the Silver Surfer's natural language.
Yeah. That was really, really interesting to see that side of him. I think that is a unique side of Johnny that we haven't seen before, and speaks to the nature that he is actually, you know, there's a reason that he's an astronaut. He's not like just along for the ride because he's Sue's brother. And all of them seem intelligent in that respect. Like Ben also seems pretty smart too. Yeah. I will say, I think another thing that was interesting was that Ben, like, you could very clearly tell that there's parts of a story that were cut. Like, there was a whole thing with, like, what's her name? Natasha Lyonne's character. Is that her name? The actress's name?
Yeah.
Natasha Lyonne's character, who plays a school teacher, I guess.
Yeah. There's always this Ben, like, love story going on in these Fantastic Four stories. It was definitely cut short.
Yeah, it was cut short. And it didn't really feel like there was much going on there. Like, it's not like he was someone that, like, an unrequited love, like, was in the first Fantastic Four film. Mm-hmm. Where his wife dumps him or something, and then he meets Kerry Washington's character. But, I mean, regardless, I still did like Ben. He felt like kind of like a dad of, like, the family, like the four of them, which I really like that aspect of him. He was very paternal even towards, like, Franklin, for example,
yes.
Which I did like that aspect. And what we were talking about, like, they're him and Johnny will tease each other. Like, I mean, they did talk about, like, that running joke in the trailers about, you know, making him, trying to force him to say it's clobbering time.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, there's other scenes which, like, they like, sort of tease and bicker.
Yeah.
And, like, I really like that, you know, as I think both of us, we have siblings, and I think we can very much relate to that.
Yep.
Other spoiler thoughts, Chris?
I think that, I guess, two.
Yeah.
I do have more, but two that come top of mind are around, you know, the two female characters.
Yes.
In this film. One with, again, Silver Surfer, Shala Baal.
Yeah.
I thought she was pretty powerful. Like, I mean, we've seen Silver Surfer in Rise of the Silver Surfer, but I think this was absurd seeing her, first of all, her in action surfing on, like, lava or whatnot. It was really cool to see, but her literally being able to chase the Fantastic Four through a wormhole when they're, like, in light speed or whatever that is, was absurd to see. And the fact that she's able to escape a black hole as well.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, though, as a critique, I did enjoy seeing her backstory. I felt like the placement of the backstory kind of felt a little bit odd to me.
Mm.
It felt like it kind of slowed down the film for, you know, a few minutes where it was a very high speed, almost like, oh, we got a race to stop the surfer from destroying all of the towers.
Yeah.
And then it goes from that straight to, oh, here's a flashback about your whole backstory and a ton of exposition that kind of slows it down a little bit.
Mm, okay.
So for me, it felt like the pacing there kind of was a little off, but
yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but I think you are right that it does. It does sort of, like, the pace gets a little bit slowed down at that moment, especially as you're sort of ramping up to the finale of the movie. I would agree with that. But to that end, like, the first part of what you were saying, the all of the sequences with her fighting, like, that whole second act sequence of them escaping Galactus's ship was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like, going through light speed, chasing her through light speed, or her chasing them through light speed, and then literally going to the edge of a black hole and then fighting her that way. That was really, really cool. And also, you mentioned Sue, but again, Sue is super powerful in this film.
Yeah,
she's insanely powerful. I mean, she's literally in labor and she is able to turn an entire ship invisible. I did like that they didn't fall to the same trope of, like, her nose bleeding when she's, like, exerting herself a little bit too much. And then also the fact that she's literally able to push Galactus.
That's what I was going to say. I think she is more powerful than I've ever seen Invisible Woman, at least in the films.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was really cool to see, like, really how powerful of a being she is.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, her ability to push Galactus, not just like a little bit, but like several blocks to the point where they get him to this, I don't know.
Like the teleporting.
Teleportation little tower device, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Was actually crazy and obviously, you know, kills her.
Super impressive. Well, almost. But then Franklin saves her.
Well, she was dead.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. She was dead. And then,
but she, yeah, resuscitated.
Resuscitated by the power of Franklin and, you know, power of love.
But, or the power of cosmic. But.
The power of cosmic. Very interesting to see that. I'm very curious to see what happens with Franklin going forward. Because, I mean, they tease him as being, like, maybe the most powerful being in the universe. In the comics, he definitely is one of the most powerful beings in the universe.
And, I mean, I think with the post-credit, what it may be setting up is Doom is going to use Franklin to initiate Doomsday or Secret Wars.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely going to be something with Franklin that Doom is going to be involved in, that he's going to use him for. So, and that's clearly what the post-credit tease was. I'm trying to think of some other spoilery thoughts that I or other thoughts in general. Yeah, I will also say I did like the, you know, it was interesting to see like a world so like not cynical in this, in the Fantastic Four. Like everyone is helping each other out. Like everyone is like, you know, working together. You know, maybe wish fulfillment. I would like to see that more in our world today.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see that. And it was also interesting to see that sort of like diplomacy side of Sue, which is, I don't know if that's something from the comics at all, but it was a really interesting way to show her intelligence as like someone who's, it's very socially intelligent, I guess, because she was able to broker the peace with her.
Well, I mean, and even empathetic. I mean,
yeah, extremely empathetic. I mean, she is willing to forgive Reed for a lot of his foibles, I guess.
Yeah.
As someone who is, you know. He literally considers giving their own child away at one point. And I will say to that end, like, you know, I was thinking at one point, like, oh, why don't they just give the child away? I know, obviously, in reality, they wouldn't. But Sue, I think, really speaks to, like, you know, the power of, like, her being a mother and, like, her being able to convince that mobbing crowd underneath them, like, I'm not going to sacrifice my child, but I'm also not going to sacrifice this world for, I mean, that was a great line in general. Like, I'm not going to sacrifice my child for this world, but I'm not also going to sacrifice this world for my child. You know, whoever was writing that, you know, give them their bonus. That was a great line, but that honestly convinced me. I mean, she did a good job convincing me to not, you know, fall for that. You know, maybe that makes me, you know, cold and unempathetic like Reed, but yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, Sue or just the Fantastic Four having to potentially give up their child as part of the negotiations with Galactus for sparing their world.
Obviously,
they didn't get any further with the negotiations. But what I will say is something that I did not see coming and that I actually very much liked was the reason Galactus went after Franklin.
Yeah.
I was not expecting it to be I am this force of nature and essentially I am cursed with this endless hunger and I don't want it anymore. So I'm going to find a replacement or an heir who can take on this curse for me so I can essentially just retire and be done with this.
Was it that he wanted Franklin to take the curse from him, or he wanted him to end his hunger, like, or was ending his hunger like taking the curse from
him? Yeah, I mean, I think Galactus himself said that, but I think also Reed was like saying like, oh, like, we're just gonna let him have his heir in Franklin.
Oh yeah, fair enough, I guess. Yeah, I sort of took it more as like Franklin would be a way to like sort of permanently sort of sate his appetite
by doing what,
I don't know.
I like, feel like that would have been just a one-time thing and then hand him back the Fantastic
Like,
Four.
More of, like, a cosmic presence. Like, he would have to constantly be there to, like, keep his appetite full or something like that. That's what I interpreted it as. But I think you might be right that it was more of, like, Franklin inherits his thing. Because he did also mention that I was once not like this or something. Yes. I think he does tease that. He was like once not Galactus, which is interesting. I don't know if that's what happened.
Yeah, in the comics, he's not this giant being from the start.
Yeah. Oh, he isn't?
He's not.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. So then I guess that is comic accurate. But that's interesting. I mean, I did like that whole, you know, again, Ralph Ineson, really great job as Galactus. I did wish we got to see more of him, but I like that they didn't kill him off. So there's definitely room for him to come back in future stories or whatever. We'll have to see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's any other things that I want to talk about from this movie.
I think for me, finally, the final point that I have is,
yeah,
Mole Man, I did not expect to have as much of a role as,
yeah.
I mean, even he did not have a huge role, but yeah. In the third act, Mole Man does play an important part, and it really feels like he has a history with the Fantastic Four, given how he kind of jabbed, or, you know, you see Reed actually get annoyed with him and start, you know, calling him Mole Man, which obviously he does it with, which Mole
Contempt,
Man does not like. So you can tell, like, there is history there, and then Mole Man takes a jab at Johnny,
yes,
by the way Johnny dressed, but then when you see Mole Man talking one-on-one with Sue, you can see that they have some rapport about, like you mentioned,
he brokered their peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like Mole Man, you know, in there for comedic relief, but it, again, plays to this whole, I feel like that they dropped us in this established world, and it didn't feel like, oh, I'm like, feel like I'm so behind. Like, you, it felt like it's been an established thing and it's easy to catch on very quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, to that end, they do at least give us like that opening sequence, like the instead
montage,
of giving the little montage, which basically tells us their origin story rather than us having to relive it, which I think was a smart way to do it. I mean, they're not like super well known, like a Batman or a Superman, where like everyone sort of knows their origin story, but I think it was a good compromise where, like, you got it out of the way and then you could just focus on, like, the real stuff. I will say, with Mole Man and, like, all of, like, even with Franklin in particular, I know that The Incredibles is a ripoff of The Fantastic Four, but I really saw so many Incredibles parallels in this movie.
The Underminer.
The Underminer. Like, even at the end of the film where they're, like, trying to fit in the car seat, or they're, like, running. They were about to go on the Ted Gilbert show and then they literally run out of the thing. It felt very Incredibles in that sense, which, you know. I mean, there's obviously a direct lineage with how The Incredibles takes inspiration from The Fantastic Four. But it was nice to see that, you know, The Fantastic Four, like the OGs, actually, they're finally done right. And it's just really nice to see that. Like, they have such a storied history within Marvel. Like, I think they definitely deserve a good movie. And it makes me excited to see more of them in their world. And I have to say, I do hope that after Doomsday, they get to go back to their world and they're not just stuck. Well, we know,
Secret
Wars, the things are collapsing, which is so sad, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, that makes me sad. Because I want to see the Fantastic Four in their own world. I would have loved to see, like, the X-Men in sort of their own world, too. Yeah.
Well, we did with the whole...
With the Marvels?
The whole 2000s X-Men series. Like, they were the only superheroes in their world.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. But, like, I would like to see
in
that...
In modern interpretations.
In modern interpretations, I would like to see, you know, an X-Men that isn't necessarily afraid to be the X-Men. Whereas, like, you know, the 2000s X-Men were really interesting because they were, like, sort of self-loathing in a way where they're like, you know, we're not going to wear yellow spandex. We're going to wear black leather and stuff. But different conversation. But I will say, I mean, these two films were great, really exciting for us. I don't know where that leaves us for the rest of Marvel. I mean, I am looking forward to Brand New Day for Spider-Man. I don't know if we talked about this a little bit in the spoiler-free section, Chris, but do you feel like your anticipation levels are high at all for Doomsday, or like you're curious to see?
Yeah, I am. I think I'm just biased towards Marvel. But do I have confidence that they will pull it off like how they... you know, very confidently pulled off Infinity War and Endgame? No, I'm not nearly as confident. So we'll see.
Yeah, fair enough. And now, I mean, it's more interesting now because now we're in a world where, I mean, we've only had one DC movie, granted. We'll have to see how Supergirl does. But I guess between the next set of Marvel movies, which granted, we only know there's three of them coming out now, versus the next set of DC movies, would you say you're excited for one more than the other?
I mean, I'm much more of a Marvel person, so...
Fair enough.
I would lean towards Marvel.
Fair enough, okay. Because I think for me, it would be DC, honestly. I mean, the way they set up Superman had me excited. And it's not like I'm not a Marvel person. Obviously, we've had these movies for years and years. I do also have a, you know, a love for like the DC animated universe that we had growing up on TV, like Batman, the animated series, Superman, Justice League. And maybe it's also me just like wanting to see a good DC on screen because we've not really had that. But yeah, I mean, it's just a good time to be a superhero fan, you know, for the past couple of months between Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four and Superman. I think, you know, we're eating good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just, you know, keep the good meals going for the superhero genre. I'm excited to see what happens next, but this was a fun time, Chris. I'm you know, hoping that Marvel continues this hot streak and
yeah.
Doomsday. I hope for all intents and purposes, Doomsday is good. I don't have maybe the utmost faith in it between the Doomsday setups like we've been talking about and maybe also the Russo brothers' recent string of films, but you know, I wish them the best. Let's see how it turns out. Any final thoughts, Chris, before we wrap up?
Nope.
All right. Well, then that has been our Fantastic Four discussion. Obviously not a complete discussion, but, you know, we hope you enjoyed it. If you have any other thoughts or theories or things that you would like to share with us, please feel free to join the conversation. Just email us your thoughts at ostrichtechnique@gmail.com. Not had anyone take us up on that offer yet, but we will definitely read out your thoughts if you do send something to us. If you like this episode and any of our main episodes, please do leave us, you know, a like or a comment or rate us on wherever you listen to your podcasts, which we are available wherever you listen to your podcasts on Spotify, you know, YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Is there anything else I'm missing, Chris? I don't think I am.
Nope.
All right. But yeah, that's been it for us. You know, we'll be back next month with our next episode, which should be Civil War, right, Chris? I think because we posted Ant-Man now.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be Civil War. But yeah, so look out for that real soon. But until then, I've been Ananth.
And I've been Chris.
And we'll see you guys around. Bye.